Please! Please!
I want to see Ahsoka.
Oh my gosh. Poor, sorry, headphone users, I can tell.
Sorry.
It's loud, but...
Hey everybody, welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders. And after 118 days, I can say, with the permission of show business, that I do love Star Wars. And we're back! We're podcasting in the middle of the night. Not because there's some big finale, some announcement. It's because we're allowed to podcast about Star Wars again as people that work on the fringes of the dazzling world of show business. If you are joining us live on the on YouTube, the YouTube, or as Harry calls it, Pause App, because of the little button. Way better name, Pause App. Oh, could have really made some money with that. Blew it. Pause. I don't even know what I was talking about then. I was just rambling on. Wait. Anyway, I'm free to talk on YouTube. And it's very, very exciting. It's been a long time. I didn't talk about Star Wars for an entire series. And I called or, you know, I texted around, try to get someone that was amped as I. And no one was free. So it's just me. But then, oh, on YouTube, I started and something had unplugged after I tested it because I had to set all the system back up because I hadn't used it for so long. And it was just a whole thing. And I was just prattling on until I read the chat and no buyers in the sound. So we had to do a restart. So it was a terrible thing. But what I've learned in the last 5 years is sometimes... you know, terrible things put you in a position for good things later on. So I had to restart. And in that time, I got a text from one Corey Van Dyke, who, ironically, on the night the strike ended, he left work early. Very confusing. But he's here. Corey... This might seem weird, but we have not, like, for people to, other people to understand, but this is just our relationship. We haven't spoken for 118 days. We've been on strike against each other.
Well, it's funny. I feel like every time I go up to LA, it's when you're gone. It's like without fail. And then the weeks that you are in LA, I just can't go to LA. So it's always like two ships in the night, you know, just crossing. That's kind of what we are. But we're here now.
Well, it's actually three ships in the night. Cause we've also got Aubrey.
Hello.
Who's just stuck in this position looking at her phone. It looks very uncomfortable. If you're on YouTube. So are you going to hold your phone up like that for the whole show, Aubrey? Because I do.
I'm packing for a trip right now.
Really? With the other arm?
So I'm multitasking. Exactly. You can't tell, but.
It's so good to talk to you guys. I've just been like, as soon as I found out it had finished the strike, I was just like, I've had a ripper week. I'm on a tear. It's going off, right? I'm having a great time. It's just things are coming up, Saunders. And I had actually one of our friends was he's had a pretty big day, a good day as well. So that person will be watching later, I'm sure. And yes, good for you. They know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so I've just been so pumped to talk because just like kind of like COVID, this is like podcast COVID for us. Yeah. It got taken away. And then you know, it's just like a regular thing. And then once it's gone, you're just like, some of it's quite liberating, I do have to say. But just before we get going, I just want to talk about the strike for a second. Hey, if you're going to be doing zips, Aubrey, that mute button, I'm wearing my AirPods, so that was a rough one. Dude, you got David Collins in there doing sound effects. Sounds like an audiobook.
Yeah, all of Skywalker sound is here with me.
Okay, excellent. Hey, I just wanted to talk about the strike for a second and us not doing any podcasting. I saw people sort of like throwing shade on people that did podcast through it. Mm. And I have my own personal very bizarre reasons for not podcasting. But I don't know. I just think like with all that sort of stuff is it's like don't lose sight of what the real issue is. And that's very rich people trying to rip talented people off. And, you know, I've got like this fringe connection to the whole industry where I couldn't like do podcasting. And I was fine with that because the actual job of being an extra and all that sort of stuff has brought me untold joy. So I respect it with all my, like, just cause like that industry, that job gave me such happiness and also money when I really needed it just after COVID. But, yeah, so it's like that was our choice. And like I do have to say, I did not boycott listening to the Star Wars podcasts that were getting made. I had I won't name and shame the scabs, but I did have a good time listening to them. And it was so weird. It was so weird to and kind of really relaxing to go through Ahsoka not podcasting just for a change. I did miss it, but it was interesting. Now, Corey, as we opened with, you've been known to scream in a very, like, admittedly embarrassingly high-pitched tone.
Wow. That
please just show me Ahsoka.
Yeah.
So this was sort of your golden moment as a Star Wars fan. And how was it being all bottled up? And how long until your pre-recorded and edited reactions go on YouTube?
Oh,
well,
no.
So there are no reactions. We didn't do any at all. Aubrey specifically works in the industry as a full-time job. So she's kind of, her and I had a big sort of discussion about what we were going to do as it happened.
What you're saying is she's so jaded in the industry that she no longer has a reaction.
There you go. Yeah. No, I mean, it was more like, so let me tell you how we found out about the strike and how like it dawned on me that I wouldn't be doing Ahsoka videos, because it was the weekend of San Diego Comic-Con, and Steele and I actually had a very fun thing planned, and it was going to be our Hasbro Star Wars like thing with the panel room, and it would have been fun, but there started.
Oh no, we had two awesome things planned. I reckon this was the hardest thing to give up, but then we had such a good time at Comic-Con. Like it was just, yes, it was mm-hmm. awesome. But it was like this is like the best worst idea. They were going to live stream the Hasbro panel to me,
mm-hmm.
so I could watch it and do live commentary from home.
Yeah, it was going to be Dom and I. Yeah,
and then like kind of like the night before, I sort of worked out like I can't do it, and then of course we were going to do the Hasbro tour, just walking around talking, which is just it's classic content, and no buys. But we did have a stunningly good time. It was so fun.
Yeah, so we actually right when Comic-Con ended, the day after, Aubrey, Dom, and I went to a Padres game in San Diego, and
no sports on the show, please. Remember all the rules, man. Come on.
And we were all
into sports, but we only went for Dom.
Not at all. Dom, because Aubrey and I are not. It was a fun time, but we all got.
I do have to say the things that I wasn't into that I had to do for Dom over the years. Oh,
I know
it's a late show, but I still can't go into it.
Yeah, it's not YouTube friendly. But yeah, we all saw on Twitter that when we were at that game halfway through that the SAG strike went through and all podcasts were told to no longer make content. And we all collectively reacted to
they were suggested.
It was suggested, yeah.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was the strike had already been happening. So I was already out of work because of the WGA strike. And then the SAG strike had already been on for a few days or like a week or something like that. But SAG didn't have things as organized as the WGA is at first. So they were kind of rolling out their guidelines. So at first they were saying one thing and that podcasters could still do things. At one point they were saying journalists couldn't, but then they rolled back and said they could. And it was a lot of chaos. But they finally sorted everything out the day after Comic-Con. And so we thought we were totally fine and we were still planning coverage because we thought and we had talked to like SAG members and SAG people about what we could and couldn't do. And we were just ready to go. But then they released that and just with that announcement, we realized we couldn't do anything anymore.
Yeah. So in regards to like reactions and stuff, did not do any, which were increasingly difficult as the weeks went on, but
I don't know if I'll do a reaction again. I kind of just an Andor, you know, it was so if I was doing a reaction, and 1 year today since One Way Out.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that night very clearly. Very clearly.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
If I was doing, I know the rebellion, right? But who's the you know, can Fran Drescher not swim? Is she gonna?
No, maybe it's her heart plush that can't swim.
Her what? Sorry.
So she was going to the negotiating table every day with the ANPTP execs and stuff with this plush doll of a little heart with legs.
Oh.
I swear I'm not making this up. This is just like quirky Fran Drescher stuff. And so there was some article that reported it, and so then people were making fun of her, but then she went and posted something and like owning it, and she's like, yeah, I'm doing this because like I'm still gonna be me and I don't have to be super serious in front of these like execs who are trying to take away my rights. So it's kind of like a funny great meme at this point.
I've never had more respect.
Awesome. Yeah, picketing was a lot of fun. I went to picket a couple of times up in at the Disney lot.
Corey, it's not meant to be fun, mate.
Well, that's true. But it was, I mean, fun in the sense that like everyone was united together for a common cause. I walked for 30 minutes with Chris Pine, you know, and which was an experience.
All right. Were the security nice when they asked you to step away or be wrong?
No, it was just him. He was with a bunch of people. We were walking right by him the whole time.
He does seem like one of the cool ones.
Yeah, he didn't have any security with him. He was just kind of talking to everyone.
I tell you who's one of the realest ones out there. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin.
Really?
Thanos.
That did not surprise me.
He was on the Tony Hawk podcast this week because he played like the Luke Skywalker character. He played like the Luke Skywalker character in this 80s skateboarding film called Thrashin'. And it's terrible. Like he's acting in it. Like the whole podcast, he's dissing his acting in it. But But he's had this connection to skateboarding and he's always kept it. And he was on the podcast and he just seems so just like a real Harrison Ford, just like, oh yeah, I suss this out.
Yeah.
I do acting, I get millions of dollars and I'm just gonna live well and be a, you know, try to be a good dude. But yeah, Thanos, top bloke.
Yeah. Yeah, it was yeah, but I think to what you were saying earlier, to not be making content videos and reactions and podcasts and all that was very strange because like it was a double-edged sword because on the one hand, it was kind of nice not to, you know, edit reactions at, you know, 2-3 in the morning and put them out and all that. So that was kind of nice, but it made me miss it. Like
shots fired, Raj.
Well, I was living very much through them, watching their reactions. You know, but I definitely like, I missed it a lot specifically, you know, since I started the podcast 10 years ago on our channel. And, through those 10 years, I always said, man, I can't wait one day.
When you were 12.
Yes. I would say, I can't wait to hopefully one day we'll see live action Clone Wars. And as the years went on, I really think they would never do it. So naturally, when there's a strike, that's when they do it. So that would have been kind of a crazy reaction, I think, and sharing that with everyone. That was very hard, by the way. Let me tell you, SAG, I'm ready for my next role because I think I deserve it. You know, I did not tweet about that episode. I did not talk about that episode anywhere. So I think my next Jabeam refugee role should be considered. Because
you idiot.
Well, all right. Well, there you go. There you have
it. One of the classics. One of the classics. Yeah. Aubrey, what did you think of the whole affair?
The SAC affair?
No, the television program.
With the lady in it. The television program.
At her head. The sabers with the clash and the force.
Indeed. I freaking loved it. It was like the weird force fantasy like show that I've always wanted. Honestly, like I know a lot of people deemed the dialogue, and to be fair, some of the dialogue not great. But honestly, I think that makes it even more like Star Wars, because I think the original trilogy prequels never really had the best dialogue. And so it worked. Oh, Aubrey, and it was amazing.
Like if you, like, I don't even think, like, the dialogue's not in my memory that much, but like, if you if you like the dialogue and other people didn't, the worst Star Wars defense is it's always been terrible. Like, that's not like it's 2023.
It's almost like camp, you know, like it's like so not great. It's great.
I agree with the first half of your point. It's so not great. Corey, your rebuttal.
Okay.
He hated
the dialogue. I won't get into it fully tonight because Steele will do something this weekend and hopefully you can join us for it. I didn't love Ahsoka. I liked it. There were things I loved. There's a lot more I didn't like. I think I've gone through a how do you call it when the cocoon, the butterfly, flies away? Metamorphosis. Gone through a metamorphosis since the strike has ruined me a little bit in terms of my takes. My takes are worse than ever. But yeah, I mean, I there's things I liked about Ahsoka for sure, but oh man, I have a lot of things to say about it. That I just won't say right now. That's my tease for the weekend, I guess. But I'll go fully into it. Some point.
I loved it though. It was magical. Like every episode I was getting goosebumps and like the music was just amazing.
Oh, the music.
The timers are like the best ever. It was just so good. It was so good. I was like crying a lot of it. And then Hayden, oh my gosh, Hayden, like you can't get any better than having Hayden in the show again or in any Star Wars thing again. Or anything again. He's just amazing. He's perfection. It's perfection. The end.
I don't think I've said what I've thought about it. This is my first public announcement, everyone. I thought there was a couple of good episodes in the middle. I thought the last episode dropped so many balls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things that happened in that last episode that make me worry about this movie I'm looking forward to and what the plot device will be. And I think as a fandom, we should all raise some money, get Dave Filoni some emotional help. Hugging is okay, David. It's fine. We can express our feelings, keep the scene going, as it were. And when you go into those therapy sessions, Dave Filoni, don't wear your hat or your stormtrooper outfit so the people in the office don't have any idea who you are. Take your helmet off so they can see your face and they don't worry.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oh, sorry. That was I drifted off into advice for Ezra Bridger. Sorry. I drifted. But there was a few of those middle episodes. The Hayden episode, it was like one of those, if they do it right, and they did it right. Like, it was just brilliant. The Balin stuff towards the end was just, oh, just like devastatingly delicious because of what happened to Ray Stevenson.
He was amazing. Oh my gosh.
Just up there with the greats. But yeah, I just worry about the future of it because they're building this thing and I don't know what's in those tombs, the little caskets, what they're loading up. But if they move as badly as those stormtroopers, that's going to be a dentist trip of a movie. That was such a flaw. I just worry, like, what's in the, like, is it witches? It's just like, it's just getting a bit too fantasy, like, you know, that, but that's the stuff
that's
I didn't.
That's why enjoy. I love it though. I love the fantasy. I love the space fantasy thing.
You like the stormtrooper zombies?
I mean, would I have thought maybe there could have been a more compelling version of like some sort of like villainous grunt?
God.
Sure. However, like as a big Legends God. Fan, I did like the zombies.
Corey, do you have arguments like this where she goes, maybe I could have handled that perhaps in a less conflict generating manner, but
truth be told, yeah.
One, I'm a woman in the Star Wars fandom, so I do have to be careful about how I say things. But two, I think it's like, you know, it's like a nice solid B+, you know, like it's good, it's passable. Would I have been okay with an A+ or an A? Sure. But like zombies, I like a B. I'll rate it a B.
Aubrey and I had many.
They ironically start with a Z. Isn't that weird?
Throughout the course of the show, Aubrey and I had a lot of debates about it and our opposing feelings about it. Because, Yeah, I think everything you said, Steele, is what I thought as well. I actually have some issues with the fifth episode.
What was the fifth episode? I'm so out of the ballpark.
Oh,
yeah.
The Clone Wars one.
The Anakin one. I have
some things, no way. That's fascinating.
I have some things to say about it.
Do you know what we should do? Commentary episode.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Great. Yeah, I think... yeah, there's definitely a lot to say. Now, the...
Stop shuffling, Aubrey.
I'm packing.
Well, you guys got to go to the mute
button.
I gotta say, the thing with like Ahsoka the most with the show is the fact that like it very much is sort of a continuation of Rebels and what we got from there. I did think it was a fascinating move to not have Zeb in the fifth season of Rebels.
Do you know how you could work that? Like, do your little like your Aubrey thing where you just like make something up that excuses it.
Right.
Yeah. You could say, they're saving the big reunion like for later on when they're all together. Like you could say that, but then you have to take in consideration that big reunions, they just got flopped all through like how they filmed that Ezra thing. Like I loved Ezra. That was
Yeah, agreed.
In the show, I loved Ezra and bloody Billy Joe from Green Day. I was just like, kid. I love the bit. Oh my god, the bit where he heard the lightsabers in the water. I was like,
yeah, you're sick.
Like, make movies about that kid now. I want to know more about that kid. Team him up with BB.
I think that's a real possibility.
Know more about that kid. Team him.
Aubrey's got her own sound desk.
Oh no.
I think. Yeah, I mean, it was certainly interesting. I agree with what you said. I am very cautiously optimistic, about the future of Star Wars right now.
Because after The Rise of Skywalker, I can't deal with another soft ending. And I think, like, it was 8 episodes of Ahsoka, yeah.
Yeah.
I think episode 7, I was just like, oh, this is just a ripper. This is awesome. And then the last, like, I don't know. What was even worth the zombie stormtroopers? I was listening to the Weekly Planet Scab podcast. If I had those listeners, I wouldn't have stopped either. And Meso was saying that, like, instead of having zombies, like, because stormtroopers have always walked like zombies because they're sort of like they're kind of useless. Like, just do, like, it was exactly the same as like just having like, yeah, you shoot those stormtroopers and more come. Like, it's just more stormtroopers. Like, it's exactly the same thing. Once I started climbing, like getting back up, I was just like, am I watching someone playing a video game? Like, it's just, I don't know. No, hashtag not my Star Wars, Corey.
Yeah. I actually agree with what you just said. Up until the finale, I felt the same way. I was like, I always knew in my head, I'm like, okay, no, like the landing has to stick here because you have to put Thrawn in a place that feels good. You have to put Ahsoka in a place that feels good. You have to wrap up the story in a way that makes Thrawn a very imposing threat. And then what's his plan? What's his goal? Does he have an army of zombies? Is that okay. Like that's kind of, I mean, when you go into, you know, a whole other galaxy and you have a ton of different things you could pull from that, a ton of new villains you could pull from that, new threats. It's interesting. It's interesting that the move is Stormtrooper Zombies for sure. That's definitely interesting for sure. I'd like to speak about the Clone Wars stuff one more real fast. My God, I loved Ahsoka and Anakin in those flashback sequences. Like, I can't even begin. Like, I think Ariana Greenblatt is the perfect young Ahsoka. I think Hayden Christensen nailed the essence of Clone Wars Anakin. And he also, you know, you get little versions of Hayden in there of the old Anakin and the Clone Wars Anakin. It was a perfect blend. I would love to see more of those two. Do, like, specifically Hayden and Ariana do stuff. I like it. Their chemistry is so perfect, and like, it was incredible. It was cool seeing live action Rex. He was great to see. That's a character. That's another. I don't even want to go into it right now. But Rex, very important character to me. Very important character to Ahsoka. So I found it very interesting that he had 12 seconds of screen time total in this show.
And no clone faces. All of them were covered.
Oh, that's a whole rant I can get into. The wrapped up clone heads, like the five of them that were all on the tables with the wrapped up heads. Interesting. Yeah. But the music, we got to touch upon the music, because the music, the Kyners, I mean, God, every week just killed it. Killed it. That soundtrack.
Why do you reckon? Was Tamira Morrison's head on any of them?
No, dude, no. It was literally, it's a row of a bunch of like stretchers, and all three clones on those stretchers.
Who did the voice?
He did the voice. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they just didn't want to bring him
weird
in.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. They got him on speed dial, I would assume. So.
Yeah, but remember he sort of had that thing at the convention in Australia where he was
did,
like,
he did.
We had the budget cuts and. Disney are trying to save money.
After the strikes and during the strikes, I think we've all seen how greedy these studios can be. So it's now it things even in my own experience with these studios, like I can very much say that there is a lot of problems there.
Not great.
And none of these studios are very good. So I'm not shocked that something like that happened.
Oh man, these dudes that like that Zaslav last year, he got all these bonuses for some reason. $200 million. One human. Too much clicking, Aubrey. Too much clicking, Aubrey.
Sorry.
Come on, professionalism. Even in this amateur environment. He's just clicking softer now. It's very strange. Oh my stars.
Wow.
Thank you, Rebecca. A green cow. $30.99. What does that mean? What is $30.99?
That is a very specific. I think it might be conversion, but that's very generous. A green.
No, but it does say Australian. It does have the A for Australian. So it is, it's like it's very welcome, but it asks more questions than it answers. if you listen to the podcast, Rebecca just gave us a super chat of $30.99, which is, and she says, it's just an amount. No idea it does why it does $30.99. What does just an amount mean? It's good to talk to you, Rebecca. Anyway. And thank you. And thank you for welcoming me back. I was so pumped. I was just like all night. I was just like, yes.
Yeah, that's
very
nice. It's still surreal.
But these dudes that make it's such a bummer mm-hmm. that these films about heroic people that are meant to teach us like life lessons, run by just like, just they've just been, their hearts have been eaten by just trying to reach these stock market like achievements. It's
yeah,
like how they had that report, how one of them, and there was a lot of very strong rumors about which one it was, that said, yeah, we'll just starve them out till they're in their cars, and then they'll have to like that sounds cool, maybe, if you're a prick and you're like, yeah, Brad Pitt in his car, that'd be awesome. But like, it just trickles down. Like, there is like, you know, like in The Rise of Skywalker, when the fleet of the galaxy turn up, like that's every morning on a set. All these different people, like catering people and makeup people, costume people, like carpenters, and like they have to suffer. Like they don't get paid. Like they've been without it. Like, and they got like, it's not like some, you know, drug doing partying actor. It's like people with like kids and stuff. And I know my friends around here, some people are, you know, they're in like, you know, like sound or lighting or, you know, but they work in like TV and movies, and they have had barely any work. And so like, they're going into Christmas. That's why I'm so happy, because it's like all these people now are just like, yes, we've got like a month and a half to like get some cash to have a good Christmas and stuff. It's like,
well, like my job, actually, I try not to be super public about my job because, you know, it's psychos online.
not many people, but, want people, you know, that you're the one that gives Dwayne Johnson his growth hormone, but you know, like, it's fine. I hear he's a great guy.
Exactly. Yes. But anyway, but like my job is one of the jobs that is dependent on actors and lots of actors on set. So for example, like when we were all in Kenobi, there are a ton of people who did our hair, did our makeup, did our outfits, who were helping to direct us, all that stuff. So with the AI stuff that the studios wanted.
There was one lady whose job was to make us space dirty every morning.
Yes, exactly.
She had a space dirt and she'd paint us with space dirt. And
And like if AI happened and these jobs aren't protected, it's not just the background actors' jobs that would go away. It would be so many people. It would even go into like craft services. It would start going into my job and people who aren't on set but are helping to support people on set, things like that. And it would just be awful. So like this issue isn't just the actors are holding up the industry because they're greedy and they only care about themselves and no one else. No, they're fighting for, and they were fighting for, everyone else in the industry as well, who would be totally affected by a lot of what the studios were proposing.
It goes all the way, like all the way down to whoever's working at the donut factory, brewing up those amazing honey core donut things that only come one in a box, but they're not, you know, they're not getting ordered anymore. It's just, I have lost I've lost so much weight because I just forget to eat when I'm at home. I get too occupied, but when the donuts get brought out, you got a donut. Come on.
Like I've gained weight since I've been unemployed because of the strikes. Because, like, all I can do is eat my feelings.
You know, it's weird because, like, I feel like for me, I've been working more than, like, I've just been working. Like, all the stuff that, like, you know, all the, you know, podcasts and going to premieres and, well, all the podcasts and, like, being able to go do stuff in LA or extra work, all that stuff. Like I've kind of not even been very in tune with Star Wars or anything really going on at all. And I think that's one thing that got me excited too. When I saw the strike lift this afternoon, it was like, oh wow. I think like we can all finally get back to that. which is exciting. I think also, like, because, you know, we all live in California, like, we see the effects of it a lot here, especially mm-hmm. because there's so many people we know. I mean, most of my friends are in the industry, either, you know, on crews or doing background or something like that. It's been really, obviously, Aubrey being affected as well. It's been interesting hearing everyone's stories on how they've been picketing and you know, on unemployment and trying to just get, make it day in, day out. So, yeah, I mean, I was super nervous for them. You know, I am in the category where I'm not quite in the industry. I used to be, not really in it as much now. But, like, it's been interesting seeing all these people sort of been affected by that. I don't know, Aubrey, I don't know what you're teeing up right now, but
oh, thank you, Corey. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's been interesting, but I'm very happy for everyone that now, like, it's done and now we can go and
eat donuts.
Honestly, oh my gosh, people, like, I will do extra work. I don't care what show it's on. I'll do it right now just for Crafty. Like, in a heartbeat.
We found the donut shop that the crew for Kenobi used.
Oh, I found
it. And we went there, and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's in, where is it? Is it
in, this is, it's this like is the smallest little donut
this,
shop.
This is the so weirdest good. Star Wars fan story. We found the donut shop that they got donuts for a show.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
Well, when we were on set, like, the donuts were so amazing and everyone was raving about the donuts. So someone finally went to craft services and was like, hi, we need to know where the donuts are from. And we found out where the donuts are from.
Yeah, I think we're losing support for the Screen Actors Guild with these stories.
You know how there was, like, that Twitter trend the other day that was like,
stop those noises!
What's the most obscure Star Wars thing you know? I think that's it, is what donuts they feed people on set.
Oh, yeah, I want donuts too right now. Oh my gosh.
What is the most obscure? Yeah, I don't know. I guess it'd just be like weird things you remember from set would be mine, because they'd I was the only one that witnessed them. But, interesting. Hey, did you watch that Heir to the Empire fan film thing?
I did. That's cool.
Did you see it, Aubrey?
What? What is this?
Oh, let's watch this. Let's bang this on. Wait there.
It's really good. Looks better than we get now.
What does that even mean, Corey? Better than what?
Better than what we get now.
you don't you like the shows?
Yeah, all right. You know, they are what they are.
I also like it is a 1 minute and 6 second trailer, so don't get all like, they should just get him to do it. Like,
it's called Crafty on set. They call it Crafty. Sorry, I was just trying to comment.
Ah, turbo. Yeah. Corey's dropping all the show business terms. I'll tell you a funny Crafty story. I was on this, Netflix show that's not out yet. That the guy, the head PA, the production assistant, was my PA for this special job I did one day on this other set. So they were just looking after me all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then on this other set, they were the head PA. So they're like, so we had an awesome day working together. And so he's like, I'll get you the pass to the actors, like the better Crafty. And I'm like, oh, sick. And so I went to do like, I went to go and I was bragging to my friend, this guy that was on Kenobi, actually. I said, oh, I've got I can go the other Crafty, you know, I'm not.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gonna like hang out with you, you know, this crafty eater's like totally rubbing because he's Australian as well, so I'm totally rubbing it in. It was filming in a school, a high school. I walk across the courtyard, like get to the other crafty, wave to him, and then the guy says, "Oh, I don't think you're meant to go in here, like this isn't," and then sent me back. And I was dying laughing. And my friend was like on the ground crying. It was the best like nightclub blocking of all time.
That's incredible.
Yes. Oh, in the chat, there was someone that, I don't know, started just demanding that they go back and watch Empire Strikes Back to, I don't know. Apparently Ahsoka didn't honor Empire Strikes Back or something. So there's that. I will say though, in that there was in that asteroid thing, which was Super Empire Strikes Back, I think the droid, someone says will be pulverized or something. And I was, oh, like the references weren't that bad compared to Mando season 3, but there was some where it was like, is there no one in this room, in a room, to go, maybe.
I think
like,
that
like,
is...
Like, how often are we going to, like, I know it's, like, it's poetry, it rhymes, but are we just going to keep overlapping? Just, like, continually pulling these, like, very ham-fisted references out of these old films? Like...
I think to your point, well... like...
Let the man speak.
I think we're going to say the same thing, Aubrey. I have a feeling. To your point about...
Oh, I always think Aubrey's going to make up some excuse now that why it's cool.
No, I was going to help your point.
Well, let me make my point first. So my point is, I think what you just said about, is there anybody to point that out? And one of the things in the WGA rule in the New Deal is... you have to have a writer's room no matter what. You can't have one writer. Thank and God. I praise God for that because, boy, do you need more people in there to go, maybe not that line. Maybe not that one. Oh, you look old? Maybe not that one. Maybe pull that one.
You look old.
Oh, God. I want to say, I'll say this real quick, and I'll talk more about this later, that the Anakin-Ahsoka dialogue when they're in the World Between Worlds or whatever she's in before the Clone Wars flashbacks. I wanted to love that scene. I truly did. But the dialogue destroyed me. It took me out of it completely. Writer's room, very excited for that. Sorry, Aubrey, go ahead.
No, yeah, that's what I was going to say. WGA, writer's room minimums. Woo! Think how much better Mando season 4 will be.
I don't know if that can be safe. We'll see.
Yeah.
I have no feeling that one.
my hopes are underneath some old Star Wars insiders under the desk here, I think.
Listen, I'm very excited for Bad Batch season 3. I'm very excited for Tales of the Jedi season 2.
Season 2, brother!
I am looking forward to seeing Andor season 2 and seeing more Skarsgård.
Have I complained about Sabine yet?
No, but you should. I feel like this will be really bad.
I'm being very good tonight. I'm being very good tonight. Go ahead.
Okay. First up, love her. I was a massive fan. And I thought, like, to me, and I'm not that invested in Rebels and stuff, but it was like they made the animated character off her. Like I found, like for me, it was the most, it was the character where I was like, most thought it was the same person. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have that disconnect. They really assimilated for me. The last episode, like the whole point of the show for her is like to be able to, like, that's her whole journey. You know, Kenobi was to like see Qui-Gon to finally reach him. Her one was to like just get a spoon to bend or something. She force pushes Ezra and gets the lightsaber and then just starts using it. It's never mentioned again. It's just like, oh yeah, it's just like there's no follow up. Like, just like there was that, like, at Mando Season 3, there was no resolution with Bo-Katan and Din. But they had that one awesome conversation, and then, like, at the end, it was just like, It was like, she used the force. There was nothing. Like, there was no, like, acknowledgement. Did she tell Ahsoka? I don't, like, oh.
Well.
Like, it should have been, like, this amazing. And it was just like,
I think the oddest thing, or my biggest issue really with the show itself and Sabine and Ahsoka, was you take these two established characters who we've seen throughout Rebels, and then you have a very strange, like almost 10-year time gap between the end of Rebels and this show. And you're taking two characters who have never really interacted with each other in Rebels, and all of a sudden you're introducing this dynamic that we've never seen before, where Sabine's trying to be a Jedi and Ahsoka, you know, there's no answers as to where Ahsoka was during the original trilogy. There's no answers to how Ahsoka got off that planet in Rebels, Malachor, and how she got back together with everyone. There's no explanation for really even Sabine and Ahsoka's dynamic, and it's very, very like, it's a very basic relationship that has zero emotion in it. And I think that's what took me out of it the most, is I was like, I don't feel any emotion from these two characters about them ever. They just seem like they hated each other the whole time. And even when they are being friendly with each other, it just felt like they were forced to do that. Like they had to, kind of, because of the circumstances they were in. But there was never any point where I was like, oh yeah, these are two characters that have a history with each other. It never felt like that. It's just weird because they never interact in Rebels. Those two characters never speak to each other in Rebels. And then all of a sudden they're master and apprentice. I thought was,
are you serious?
Yeah, never. There's no dialogue between them ever.
But then at the, like, you know, as I said, like I just watched Rebels while it happened and
yeah,
I remember what I remember. But I do remember at the end, like Ahsoka turns up in the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Aside from that moment...
She's on her way to Comic-Con to be Gandalf or something.
Yeah, so the only difference... I mean, the only time they've interacted is that little epilogue scene where they see each other.
No way!
Mm-hmm. And so... I mean, heck, I don't even know. Ahsoka might have only said one or two words to Hera. Like, she was very... very like in that stuff with Kanan and Ezra and with Vader, but other than that, Ahsoka was very rarely in Rebels. I mean, it opens a whole set of questions as to why wasn't certain. The problem I had with the writing was it was a lot of mystery boxes on top of mystery boxes, where it was like you have to fill in the blanks. How do you think this happened? Because it won't be explained, or something will happen where you're like, Even the Anakin Ahsoka stuff, it's like you can interpret what happened between those two characters in that episode, but you don't really know. Like it's not matter of fact. And I think that's the issue with the show, is you go from, you don't really know what's happening half the time with these characters. And I think even the sequence where, you know, Sabine's talking to Ezra and Ezra says, or Sabine says, Ahsoka took me on as her apprentice. If I were Ezra, I would have been like, wait, last time I saw you, you were not force sensitive and you weren't a Jedi. So what is, like, he's just kind of like, I have a lot of, yeah.
So on that, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a bit of a what if. But like, I think we assume that this Ray film, John Boyega, is going to come back for it. Like, what, 50%, Corey?
Like, on him returning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 50-50.
I'm 70-30, right?
Yeah.
So, his thing, right, isn't that he loves Ray, it's that his secret is that he's has the apparently, maybe, who knows, because they didn't clarify in the final movie of the series. But if he's gonna, like, if his thing is like, I can, I've got, like, isn't it the same story?
Yeah, I mean,
like they can do it different, but it's like,
it would make more sense for sure.
No, no, but if they do it, it would be terrible. Like, I was like, fine for them to do. Like, if that's where you're going to go, yep, okay. But you've already done it. It's just like, remember when they were in Sassy Droid? Everything had a droid. This isn't your daddy's droid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like, it just seems like a double up. They haven't done it. They haven't even announced he's in it. But it does concern me. It's just going to be sort of like, because how do you, can you have him back and then it's not followed up on?
I think a lot of the issue with Star Wars right now, well, I mean, there are many issues, clearly, one of which is the mystery box. But the second one would be that they find tropes that are cool and then they just reuse those tropes and run them into the ground. And beat the dead horse until it's not a horse anymore and you're just beating the air. And that's one of them at this point, which is unfortunate because, like, I would love to be excited about certain things, but when it's happening over and over again, it's a little bit hard to be excited or surprised about them.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's kind of, you know, I think what draws me to Star Wars animation the most out of anything is... like, and this is what I really love about The Bad Batch, is I feel like they tackle things that we haven't seen in Star Wars before, and they're actual answers to the things we see as they grow the story arc. And it's something in live action that I feel like recently there's been more of a focus on the cool action-y sequences in shows versus a lot of character development. And this is just... across the board, I think specifically it's a Mandoverse thing where, like, Mando season 3 was just so poorly written from start to finish. Book of Boba Fett suffered the same sort of writing, and then this is no exception too. It's like, there's, we never get time to really sit with these characters. I would have loved to have seen Ahsoka go through the emotions of her, you know, dealing with the aftermath of Vader and Anakin and leading up to that fifth episode where she sees him again. That would have been great, but we never got that. There was no emotional payoff to that. And even when she does see him again, it's still very cloudy and there's no emotional payoff. Maybe at the end when you see his ghost, and that's cool, but you know, that little moment in the finale where Sabine talks about how she, or Hugh Wang tells Ezra in a you know, plot dump, that the reason Sabine and Ahsoka parted ways was because Sabine's family got all destroyed on Mandalore, and that caused them to drift. And it's like, wow, that's just like two sentences in the whole show as to what happened between them versus just showing it or giving us a more emotional moment between Sabine and Ahsoka. I'm all for paying for the GoFundMe that we've proposed for Dave. I think it might need to happen. Love you, Dave. But I think we, yeah.
I think when you say love you, I don't think he's comfortable with that, Corey.
I don't. He might not.
And
he
that's
might,
why might. You out there on YouTube in the podcast, you got to donate to this fund. Let's get him some support.
We want to help him.
What emotional turmoil is he hiding underneath that hat?
I just, like, I want, next time I see him at Celebration, I want to Can I give
you
a hug?
Do we really want to know the emotional turmoil under that?
No.
I want him to write it. I want to see it.
I don't want to know, but I do want him to get through it. Because I was like, how do you, like, Hera, the mum, and like, it's, how long have they been apart? Is it 10 years or something?
Yeah. Yeah, 10 years.
Okay, I do have to defend this one.
They almost shoot him. The rebellion has just had two, like, dark Jedi or whatever land and kill all these people. And then you've got this kook coming in with a helmet in it. And it, like, it's just and then Ezra. And then they cut to this wide shot, right? And then that's it. Like,
well,
you're not to get what they're doing. No, what are they? They're just not like, it's okay, like, so... give the audience a chance to have an emotion. Like,
I agree.
I'm not tied up in the Rebels family, but I'm a sucker for a reunion. I can barely keep a dry eye when I just think of Rose and Bernard in Lost. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to get emotional now. They build it up so far apart all this time, talking about each other, wanting, yearning, come together. And it is one of the most emotionally enriching, like, minutes of television.
But still, Aubrey, Hera and Ezra aren't Rose and... They aren't them.
It's mom and dad.
It wasn't even that much. It wasn't enough build up. It's not comparable to Lost. It's just not. Like, I want it to be. Sure, yes, there is like an emotional aspect, but it's not as emotional as Lost.
There is.
It's not as emotional as the brick wall out the front.
Fair. But okay, so my defense is I got my minor in college was film theory. And I know, and it's going to sound super nerdy, so I just would like to have this disclaimer. I'm going to sound like such a nerd.
She's used this on me many times.
So you're at college, you're a minor in film theory.
Yes.
Okay, well, at everything, I'm a major in being right all the time.
Okay, no. Okay, so like
cop that sweet.
Put away the narrative story emotional part, right?
Oh.
So the shot is...
Why?
Ezra, the shot is Ezra and Hera, right? And then you do... So imagine they're like at two points of the screen, right?
Oh.
And then
Aubrey, we can use this as evidence. We can use this as evidence in the court case to get your refund for whatever you paid at this university. No, there's no.
After the wipe, Sabine and Ahsoka are in those exact spots in the frame.
Oh, that's amazing. You did a visual trick and didn't give people a chance to happy cry.
But it's cool.
It's like poetry. George Lucas messed things up too. It's the Star Wars tradition.
Okay, so yes, narratively, yes, they should have hugged. However, the film theory part of me like nerded out. I was like, oh, they did the thing. And so I was excited. And in a way, you could say, and this is totally like extrapolating, and you could say that they're comparing Ezra and Hera's relationship to Sabine and Ahsoka's relationship.
It's honestly like your worst take. You have some pretty bad takes. I love you, but you have some pretty bad takes.
Listen to yourself.
It's not a great take. I told you it was going to sound nerdy. I told you it was going to be bad.
No, it didn't sound nerdy. It sounded oblivious.
Oh, yeah, that was really rough right now.
Wow,
I told you it was going to be rough.
Did that gas leak at the university get fixed?
I did live in an apartment with black mold, a lot of black mold for a year.
Oh,
so that
God.
Hold on. I want you to put yourself in my shoes for a second. Just
this
for a second.
Me all the time.
This is
dude, I am not wearing Crocs for any any little story. I don't care how wrong Aubrey is. I'm not putting them on Corey.
Oh, that's going to follow me forever. Huh?
Hashtag I stand with Aubrey.
Thank you.
Oh,
Jesus. Terrible, Aubrey. That was...
Oh, I know it's terrible. I know it's bad. Why? And that's why I said, I gave the disclaimer it was bad. However, the little nerdy part of me was like, oh, I saw that and I appreciate that. Because I'm a dork. Because I'm a dork. Okay.
I was going
you're confusing the words dork and wrong. They're different. You can be both.
I was going through a bunch of old videos that I used to make when I was like 6 years old. And I found a video. I'm pivoting, by the way. And I found and I found a video of me talking when this, I was six in this video, and I'm talking about how
your first
I'm
words.
Okay. I was talking about how I was the director of episode 7. That's my first Star Wars video ever that I ever made. And I'm talking about how I am the director of episode 7. It's about 5 minutes long. And I go into some great detail.
And then we found your draft for episode 7.
I have some scripts that I wrote when I was 6 as well.
Dude.
It was basically The Rise of Skywalker, and it set up Palpatine returning. And we know someone who said something to the effect of, like, it says something about JJ and Chris Terrio's writing that they came up with the same idea that you did when you were, like, 6.
It's called War of the Sith.
We should do an audio play and say...
I think we should. I found... Now, Steele, when I say I found a lot, I found, like, 15 different scripts I've written. I've found... This is the camera, the old video camera I used to have. And I just bought all these like tools to set it up and download it onto my computer. I got some crazy stuff that needs to be shown.
Dude, this is what we have to do reaction videos for, buddy.
100%. My Star Wars takes as a 6-year-old are crazy. I talk about the work.
Are they 6-year-old crazy, or are they Aubrey crazy?
No, I'm on another plane of existence. Yeah.
You seem, Aubrey, this is a weird thing. You seem to get some, like, exhilarating thrill out of saying these ludicrous things.
I do. It's because the self-aware part of me is like, Aubrey, you're ridiculous. But the other part of me is like, yes, this is amazing.
don't bring up Lord of the Rings. Just don't, like.
No, you're like, Lord of the Rings. You're like a cutter of the Star Wars universe, like a Star Wars theorist, but a cutter. Like you, like it's
but it's
very.
Like, it's like ironic though, so it's okay. Like in my brain, I'm like I ironically think this.
No, that's not how the world works. Like you know all those people that
it's
wear
like camp.
No, but you know how people wear Crocs now, ironic, like they're so bad. Sorry, Corey, but that they're now good. Like now, trendy people wear them. And it's like, oh, it's ironic. It's like, no, you're just wearing like dud shoes. Like there's no, and you're just making dud calls. There's no irony.
It brings me joy, Steele. And that's what
I know, but look how much it torments us.
It makes me, it was difficult during the strike when I couldn't podcast about my feelings because this would be.
Yeah. Corey's been alone with me and my like, broken brain Star Wars thoughts like this.
I've struggled.
Corey's gone mad.
I feel like I am a little changed. I'm not just saying that. Like, there's something different about me. There is.
Yeah, something different about him. All right.
I no longer wear hats because of it. I can't.
Muster. You're off the hats.
Yeah, I've done.
No, that. He's very much not off the hats.
I don't know why you said that, but you did. So,
Corey, I literally just got you an Oogie Boogie hat that you wore on the pumpkin painting stream.
You wore an Oogie Boogie on the pumpkin painting? The hell are you talking about? Are you having Aubrey, should we call 911, Corey? Is she having a seizure?
Okay, so you know the Holonet Marauders.
Shove it, witch.
You know the Holonet Marauders. The Holonet Marauders, every year they do this pumpkin painting stream
where they have everyone paint a pumpkin in like a Star Wars theme. So everyone painted their pumpkins and they always want us to be wearing different costumes. And so we were like, like strike stuff. We should maybe not have costumes or like certain costumes or whatever. And so I went with some Obi-Wan crew merch. So I was like an Obi-Wan crew member because I'm lame or something like that. And then Corey, his was Oogie Boogie. So he wore this Oogie Boogie sweater cat that I bought for him.
I feel like there's like blood coming out of Aubrey's nose right now.
I swear this was a thing. I'm not crazy.
Oogie Boogie. Oh, okay.
This is Oogie Boogie.
Hannah said that was the most American sounding sentence. I'm so sorry. I'm that American. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. There's a lot of people who take that as a compliment.
Oof.
Thank you, Rebecca. I really appreciate the plug there. That's excellent. She says, if you want a good shoes, the Shore Store has a sale on. That's my it's my little brand and shop in Australia. Which
do you sell Crocs?
Absolutely not.
You could bring me in. I could really
sign a couple Crocs. Spokesperson.
Yeah.
I think I'd do very well. I think you would get money that you didn't think.
He can be your Croc model.
You guys, Aubrey, more great. Hey, do you sell Crocs? No. Hey, do you want to get my boyfriend over to Australia to model a product that you just said you don't sell? Yeah.
I would fly to Australia just for that. That would be amazing.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, no. I've been unemployed since May. I've gone crazy. Like, I'm unhinged. I'm sorry.
All right, well, hinge back up. Get back up there. Oil up. Stop squeaking. I got to check my phone. I was sort of hoping, this was my dream, that, I hoped we'd go live smoothly at 12:01. That didn't happen. But I also was hoping that that as we went live, thank you, Rayside. She said a nice thing about us on Twitter. So thanks. Kind. Appreciate it. Pot Ray it forward.
Anna is the best.
We love you, Anna.
I just real fast. I'm in a group chat with Hannah and a couple other people, some great people. I don't check Facebook a lot. So every like 6 months I'll pop into that group chat and just say hello and then I'll leave. And I do that. It's one of my favorite things to do.
And I'm the unhinged one.
If he does it before Thanksgiving, that means it's going to be a long winter or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
No. I did it like a month ago, so I can't go back till next year.
Okay.
Great group of people in that chat.
Great story, Corey.
Yeah, I think so. I thought it
you've
was
been, you've been have you been writing notes? Oh, I've got some bangers. I got to bring up the once a year group chat. Hello.
Listen, man, it's been good.
Bring out the big guns for the retire.
I told you things have changed, man. Things.
The strike broke us.
I feel broke.
I'll glue you back together, Corey. I'll give you a big hug. I'll come down to San Diego. Oh, as I was going to say, before I was looking at my phone to see if it happened yet. I was hoping at like 12:01. Just my text messages were going to go off with like casting offers. Like just all those, like it was just like they've loaded them all up and they're just like 12:01. It's like, bah, 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 bah. And, but nothing so far.
We should be hearing about like next steps early next week in regards to production.
Ironically, I go to Australia in about like a week and a half. So
See, I was thinking of going to LA very soon, and I guess you're not going to be there.
Well, we'll discuss that off air because I might.
Ships passing in the night, as Corey said.
That's what we are.
Planes passing in the night. But
like Lost.
Yeah, I've been the actual strike. It was well timed because I've been just. I'm always working my ass off in my shop, but I had even more time just to really. And get things done. And we're in a really good spot. Hence, I'm having a great week. No Crocs. I couldn't do it. But I actually just realized just a second ago that it's like 1:36 in the morning. We'll be going for about an hour and a quarter. And, I am exhausted, but I'm also just, it's so fun to talk again. I'm kind of like annoyed at Star Wars at the moment, but I missed all the mucking about, you know.
So it makes it special. That's what I mean. Honestly, like half the time, it's not so much the content; it's about everyone coming together to talk about something we all love, and to have those, you know, friendships and all of us meeting up for things, and that's what I think. That's my favorite part about Star Wars has always been. And so losing that was a little bit, it definitely like stung a bit. And you could kind of feel that as the show aired and even before it aired, the lead up to it and realizing that there wasn't going to be, you know, unless you're the Sith list, but you know, I definitely, I definitely missed it.
Oh, Corey.
I love those guys. I'm totally fine.
I'm so proud of you, Corey. That's how you give some shit. I love it.
I love how at the beginning Steele was like, you know, like I don't want to name any names. We're not gonna shame any of the people who scabbed, and then proceeded to scab a few minutes later. Proceeded to say different podcasts that
I love them.
Yeah,
stuff. Yeah,
Aubrey,
it's a personal decision.
I thought you loved irony. You're such a big fan.
I do love the irony. I said I love that you did that. That was great.
I won't be able to join you guys this weekend because I'm actually going camping with Harry. We're going on our first little camping weekend.
Oh, fun!
So that's going to be just interesting. This might shock you. But I'm not really into like the camping life and dust and all that sort of stuff.
Bugs.
I like I like to have clean shoes. But but we're going to have like adventures. Crocs. And then, yes. And I do have to say with Crocs, Harry does wear them because they are trending among 5-year-olds. And his best friend Dexy had them, so he wanted them, and he does look delightful in them. But
that was the nicest thing I've ever heard you say about Crocs.
But as an adult, I don't think you should aspire to dress like a 5-year-old that looks like he's having fun. You can act like a 5-year-old that's having fun, but you don't have to wear the big gumbo shoes. Hey, if it's part of your profession, you're in a kitchen, it's all fine. But come on.
Yeah.
My main thing with Crocs, if you wear them, just accept they're Crocs. Don't say they're cool now or you're wearing them ironic. Just deal with it. You've made a very interesting decision. You know, you haven't deprived workers of much needed, you know, money. The artists that fuel the $30 million you make all year, but you have put on some questionable footwear. So whilst we may make fun, we're sure, much like Corey, that you're true of heart and you're a great person and you didn't deprive artists of the money in thanks for the millions of dollars you make each year.
And I will say I did thoroughly enjoy everyone's like people who chose the podcast. It was thank you for entertaining me during the strike. Thank you for taking
it. Yes, it was great. And again, like, it was totally a personal decision. And I know a lot of people who still created content, but were also still using their platforms for supporting the unions and supporting the unions in other ways. And I think that's super, super great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, oh, you did podcasts about Star Wars. Like, are you going to be upset that, or that, like, a billionaire said, oh, let's make a move out of their houses, then they'll accept the offer? Like, eye like, on the prize, stay on target,
exactly.
Use the force, it will be with you. Blow up the big Death Star, it explodes. Money. Right now, it's amazing, you guys. I had to come inside before because there's just like money just raining down on the town after the corporations gave in. It's the land of plenty. Everyone, a deal has been made. Come to Hollywood, become a star. They're handing out cash and free donuts on these sets.
There will be a big, big, big production boom. So,
yeah, I would expect by the end of the year that we're going to have a lot of announcements from Star Wars, I would expect.
Maybe, yeah.
I
know.
That's better than I've a Star Wars announcement. Work. You can always count on them.
I mean, I think pretty soon we'll get the release dates for some of the shows.
Droid Story?
That's not happening. That's dead in the water.
We have to, as we go out, that geek Andy... See, these people on the other side, to the other side of the planet, and then they think they can get a bit cheeky because they know you're not going to see them at the live podcast on the weekend or whatever. But listen, buddy, I'll be back in Australia in a couple of weeks. You don't know where, you don't know when, but he does give us a generous $7.99 super chat. But then, as we go to hug him, he knives us in the foot and says to help fund Crocs being sold in the Shore store. Never happening. Like, I could, like, it would be such a, it'd be like, what has happened in my life?
They're orthopedic.
Like, Aubrey, you have a talent. Oh my God, Corey, you are a resilient young man, and we salute you.
It's almost 2 a.m. I'm on one. I'm sorry.
She's playing 5D chess, 8 moves ahead through several parallel dimensions with these. She can
that's
get
just
you.
The iceberg.
But see, I'm funny. At least I'm witty. You know it brings you joy, Steele. You know it.
Brings me some. When are you doing the stream anyway for everyone to?
Yeah. So
do you remember how to plug, Corey? You used to be the best in the game.
Oh wow! Yeah. Well, look at me now. So I don't know. I feel this is my. I could say that the Steele doing the podcast with you and the Corey Thursdays have been my favorite iteration of podcasting, my favorite show to do. So I have, especially as of late.
Eat well, shit, Noah.
And the Convoy Call, yes, of course, too. But so, we're going to do a stream on Convoy Call on Sunday night, Aubrey and I, where we'll be talking about Ahsoka and sort of our thoughts on Star Wars right now. I think we plan to have a couple friends on as well. So stay tuned for that. Like I said, we have no reactions to post from the show. I know a lot of people were asking me about that, but I didn't do any. And then we'll see what the new year brings in terms of what else we decide to do. But I thought it would just be fun to really go in depth on the Ahsoka series on Sunday night. I don't know. I don't have a time yet. We'll post that on our Twitter pages.
Did we make a time when we're going to do the live stream where we block all the scab podcasts on Twitter?
that'll be the next phase of
it. Yeah, we'll be the ones leading the witch hunt.
I do have to say, like, and I've like at times definitely been guilty of it, but just to be free of all the just the bleh, over nothing
mm-hmm.
on
yep.
It's just 100%. Oh, and just it's not so dealing liberating. Not dealing mm-hmm. with all the kooks. We didn't even get to, you know, we had so much fun we didn't even talk about any of other news and stuff, but I was Googling, I just wanted to see the video of Ash Crows, and she just interviewed Kevin Feige and they mentioned the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
So I just Googled Kevin Feige Star Wars and I just thought the video would come up first, whatever. But the first video that came up was like a pretty notoriously well-known YouTuber saying, Kevin Feige confirmed to take over Star Wars. And I'm looking for this interview where he says how, nah, Star Wars, like the one he was going to make, it got cancelled. And so, I don't know, did it get cancelled so he could take over Star Wars? Is that the power play? Or it's such a joke.
Just to say.
And it is shocking how repeatedly gullible our fellow humans can be. Just
that clip was so sad. Kevin Feige looks so sad when he says no.
I almost took it as some point. No. Not that franchise.
Well.
It's just, yeah. Wah, wah.
All right, it's getting close to 2, so clearly you guys, this podcast has gone on
long enough.
So I'm revitalized. Oh, I should say this. So I'm going to try to drop a podcast. I'm gonna see how often. I've got a couple stored up. We did some Ahsoka reviews in the moment with Hawes, but I'm gonna try to do a daily run. I'm gonna see how many days I can just get like one little thing out, because I've just missed it so much. And it's really happy. And I should shout out to all the patrons that just chilled it out as well. They took one for the team, so I appreciate that. On a personal note, and I'm pretty recharged to do some stuff. So
yeah, we're back.
It's golden, except for Aubrey. She's been packing her bags to get out of there the whole episode. It's a bit much. It is a bit much. Oh my god, Johnny G just wrote 4 and 20. I'm going to be smashing some of those pies. 4 and 20. Oh, that they are the 7-Eleven hamburger of Australia. A 4 and 20 pie, just
delicious. For anyone wondering,
you got to come. I've got to hide you in a suitcase one time and bring you back for an episode. Hey, now that you're here, we can go out. No, I can't do that. If I listen to the Corey Days on the way out, I want to keep podcasting. It has to be at the start. I'll get re-revved up. So I'll just put on the outro. But thanks everyone that hung out. I know it's a very odd time, unless you're in Australia when it's the perfect time. You can, I think Josh Chapman just skipped his meal with his family just to chat with us. So that was nice of him.
Aww.
But most of America would be hopefully asleep, because it's past everyone's bedtime. Including mine. Hey, may that force be with you. Peace.
Bye.
The people. The people.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.